6:45 now, a quarter till 7. Joel Riley in for BC. Friday morning, July the 2nd, and boy, we're at the cusp of a beautiful holiday weekend. Traffic and weather on the 10s for you here in about 6 minutes. Right now to Matt Mayer, who is president of the Buckeye Institute. Matt, always a pleasure.
Hey, Joel.
We got an estimated $8 billion budget shortfall in Ohio, and I'm guessing that's what prompted you to take a look at private sector workers versus government workers. Am I right?
Well, believe it or not, it's not.
Really?
We looked at it because you just look around and you see these gold-plated compensation packages, and we thought even if we did have a budget deficit, this is the right thing for us to look at and for us to publish about.
Okay. So what did you find? You started digging through?
Yeah, we started digging through, and we had some economists help us, and what we discovered was your state government workers make substantially more than their private sector neighbor, peer. Whether it's pay, where they make 24% more, or it's the premium percent of their health care that they pay, or it's the sick leave benefit that they get. And then, of course, when you get to the pension, there's just no comparison. And so what we did is we looked at the various costs of that in a year and in a lifetime and found that the state government worker cost taxpayers twice as much as the private sector peer would.
So when you play all that out and you realize people are capitalists, I guess a lot of them at least still are at heart, it doesn't surprise you at all that people are running to work for the government, does it?
No, it's not. In fact, you know, that's the thing that's so frustrating is if you look at Ohio in the last 20 years, we have gained about 120,000 total net private sector jobs. At the same time, we've gained about 93,000 government jobs. And that's almost a one-to-one ratio. You can't have a vibrant government if you don't have a vibrant private sector. And we don't have a vibrant private sector. But it's not surprising we have a vibrant government because we're incentivizing people to go work for government.
So what should we do? In your estimation, the Buckeye Institute, what is the way to handle it from here forward?
Well, I think we need to rein in these costs. And so I think we put 11 options on the table, ranging from pay cuts of government workers to realign those with their private sector neighbor, or pay freezes until the private sector catches up, and then several others. And if you do a handful of those over the next 2 years, you could save up to about $2.1 billion out of the state budget.
$2.1 billion?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good number, especially when you're facing an $8 billion shortfall.
It is a good number. Some of that may not all go toward the deficit because some of that money may not be general revenue. But fundamentally, right, this isn't about the deficit. It is partially about the deficit, but it's more importantly about do we want to incentivize people to go work for government rather than the private sector? And fundamentally, should taxpayers be paying more for some government worker than they can even sustain themselves?
Yeah, I think that's when you look at it from that point, you got somebody making, you know, 50 grand a year and they see how much of their tax comes out and they know a guy doing basically the same work, you know, in a different office building is making more and he's footing some of the bill. That starts to stick in people's craw, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it's happening all over the country. And look, even European countries are cutting back on public sector compensation. So if France and Germany can do it, I'm pretty confident Ohio, and I hope Ohio's politicians have the guts to do it, because if we don't do this, we are simply going to continue to have two classes of workers. If you work for government, you live a gold-plated, gilded existence where you don't have to worry about being fired, and you get a pretty great compensation package. If you work for the private sector, well, over the last 20 years in Ohio, you know, you've had a pretty rough pull of it.
Yeah, so play that out, if you would, Matt. You know, more people are going to work for government because that's where the bucks are, that's where the benefits are. If that continues, if it goes unchecked and keeps going the way it is now, at what point is there not enough tax income for the government to sustain the people working there?
Well, that's the big question, right, which is if we keep on this pace, you will have to start raising taxes even higher on Ohioans. And we already have the seventh highest state and local tax burden. So if we don't rein in the system, whether it's at the local system or it's at the state system or at the federal system, if you don't rein it in, you're going to have to raise taxes to pay for it. And to me, when I look around, we have more state workers today, more government workers in Ohio, state and local level, than we've ever had in the history of the state of Ohio, 808,000 state and local workers. That is a number that is simply too high for the tax revenue being generated by our systemically weak private sector. So we've got to make fundamental changes if we want the state to get back off the mat and be the great state it once was 50 years ago, even 30 years ago, when we were one of the top states in the country.
Is that part of why, and I'm just thinking like Columbus, a lot of people when I was growing up said Columbus is a great place to work because it is quote-unquote recession-proof. Is this part of why it is recession-proof? Because you have so many people making good bank because, you know, we've got local government, state government, even some federal government here. Is that part of why that rings true for Columbus?
Oh, it's absolutely true. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that we've got, you know, Ohio State, you've got the state capital, you've got county and city government, and all that comes with that. I mean, if you go look, you know, on the cover of this report that's on our website at BuckeyeInstitute.org, we put the OPERS pension building, because it's like the Taj Mahal. I mean, this thing is like, you know, 15 stories, glass, geometric shapes, has a tunnel, private tunnel for people to drive in and do indoor parking. It's got a three-story glass atrium. It's got a fourth-story outdoor patio. I mean, that it symbolizes this growing problem with public sector compensation compared to the private sector.
Very good. Matt Mayer, always a pleasure. Matt is the president of the Buckeye Institute. Kevin, we'll have that linked up through our page here in a matter of moments. And speaking about all things money, did you hear Nancy Pelosi yesterday? I've got a link up on the Daily Delivery page, 610WTVN.com. But Nancy Pelosi says that handing out unemployment checks is the best way to stimulate the economy. I know when I read it, I couldn't believe it, but it's like a 70-second video clip, and she lays it out from her brain through her mouth to your ear. I don't know if you'll believe it or not, but you can see it right now, 610WTVN.com. Go to the Daily Delivery page. We've got traffic and weather on the 10s next, right here, 610 WTVN.